chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire, now streaming on Paramount Plus.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into the Go 24/7 podcast. My name is Bryce Kuhn, alongside Sonny Shipp. And when you know it's just us two, one, it could go off the rails pretty quickly. But two, most likely we're talking about recruiting. Sonny, a big weekend for LSU as they get a commit in Jabari Antoine, junior day all the way around. So we're going to talk about that. But let's start off with Mr. Antoine, the Louisiana native. Corey Raymond obviously played a massive role and LSU being able to get this commitment from the 2025 defensive back. Your thoughts on what Antoine brings to the table and how pivotal this is that Corey Raymond really gets the ball rolling here, especially in that secondary that needs some help.
Well, you know, if you're an LSU fan, you look back at Westgate High School and you think about all the guys that LSU has gotten from the New Iberia area. Then you fast forward to the previous, the last couple of years to where they haven't had the success that they had before. Derek Williams goes to Texas. Danny Lewis goes to Alabama. For a while, it seemed like Jabari was kind of had his eye maybe on leaving the state. And when I spoke with Coach Antoine late on Monday evening, he kind of explained that side, because I mentioned that one of the questions that I asked him was, you know, Coach, how big of a role was Corey not in the fact that LSU didn't maintain a presence once Kerry Cooks and Robert Steeples had moved on, because obviously Frank Wilson and Sherman Wilson had been helping out there a lot anyway. But how big was Corey in kind of being what pushed LSU over the top? And he explained it well, how, you know, he and Corey, they go back years and years and years. They work together. You know, he said, we're like brothers, you know, best friends are like brothers. And so, you know, LSU, when you take the issues that they had in that area on top of with Antoine, the way it was looking, you know, to all of a sudden flip that script, I think, you know, it says a lot about the impact, you know, that Raymond can have at LSU and that he's already had early on. You know, the number three cornerback on the composite, number 58 player in the country overall. I believe he's number two in the state, number two in Louisiana. Mm-hmm. You know, when you crunch all of those numbers together, it's very easy for that high four-star to come out by his name. And I think that, you know, to be able to get a guy who can play anywhere in the secondary, he could play safety, he could play cornerback, he could play nickel, probably better fitted for that outside cornerback slot or a free safety spot. But a big need, regardless, you know, especially when you see LSU still chasing Terry Bussey here down the stretch, down the stretch for 2024 to National Signing Day. You know, it just kind of explains and just kind of reiterates the need that LSU has at that cornerback position.
Yeah, you mentioned obviously the need there. We're going to talk about Terry Bussey a little bit later on. With Antoine, though, I mean, Sonny, you've been really, really big on this. Like, this 2025 class, just within the state lines of Louisiana, is ridiculous. 2026 has potential to be really something special. We know Antoine's impact on the field, but how much of an early impact does this make with other guys across the state of saying, hey, we know that the mission is to lock down this state, but actually getting these guys to commit and then eventually sign, it feels like you're starting to gain a lot of more momentum that paid off, obviously, in 2024 with that class, and they're trying to carry it over into 25 and 26.
Yeah, and, you know, you look at Devin Harper, you know, the four-star interior offensive lineman out of Shreveport, out of Calvary Baptist, teammates with James Simon. Mm-hmm. Both of those two guys, you can make an argument that those are the top two remaining in-state guys as far as if you're ranking a pecking order of who's committed and who's not. I mean, you can make a strong case that Simon and Harper are at the top of the board, you know, at the top of the board of guys who are not committed right now. And, and I think you're going to see, you know, Harper visited for junior day. Simon was down in Miami or in South Florida for the Battle 7-on-7 tournament where he had, put on a good showing. And it's hard for running backs to put on a good showing at a 7-on-7.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're taking them out of their element, you know, and so to be able to do that, I think really says something. But, you know, if LSU can go and they can close on those two up at Calvary Baptist, I think you'll really start to see, you may not hear it, but I think you're going to hear some coaches from programs who like to recruit Louisiana go, oh, man, that's not good. Because it's just going to kind of, you know, it's going to kind of just strengthen that grip that Brian Kelly and his staff that they were kind of able to get with this 2024 class, you know, getting, I think it was what, at last count, 12 of the top 13?
I think it was 12 out of the top 13. I'm looking
12
at
out
it,
of
yeah.
the top 13. And then you fast forward to 2025, you look at where 2025 is trending. You know, if you throw Simon and Harper, in that on that commitment list, and then you look to 2026, which what you were talking about being such a special high top end class, you know, coaches from other states are looking at it like, man, yeah, it's getting tougher and tougher to go into the boot and get guys out, and they didn't, you know, they didn't say that a couple of years ago. A couple of years ago, they had a ton of success. Arch Manning, Derek Williams, Aaron Anderson, Tackett Curtis, you know, we can go down the list.
You know, I mentioned to someone and they said it's almost like a noose tightening. And that's what Brian Kelly's trying to do. He's trying to tighten the noose, around this state. And look, if you leave Louisiana, either one, it's by a decision that maybe the staff says, hey, we're willing to let this one slip by, or maybe it's, other things outside that control. So I think it's really interesting to talk about, you know, how Antoine not only impacts what he's going to bring on the field, which is as a playmaker, but also to just his ability to what his commitment means for the future as well. It was a big junior weekend there, Sonny, in Baton Rouge this past weekend. I know that there were a ton of visitors. You know, you just had to look on social media, the amount of kids that visited that maybe they don't hold an offer yet from LSU in that 2025 class and some 2026 as well. Any standout guys from you that can maybe keep an eye on that maybe be trending towards an offer or anything of that such?
Well, I think Devin Harper. I think, you know, Devin Harper, it was big for him to get his mom down here over the weekend to kind of spend some time. She had met other coaches, like I believe Steve Sarkisian, a couple of other coaches like that, been on some visits. So it was good to be able to kind of put, you know, a face to the voice and to the message that Brian Kelly is sending out. And I think LSU has put itself in a really good position there. And I'm probably going to, before the end of the day, if it even makes it through the end of the day, I'll probably go ahead and put a crystal ball in on him. And I think LSU is also has been in a strong position for his teammate James Simon for a while now. Yeah. And I think that's kind of getting to a point to where, you know, that's becoming more a matter of when and not if. And so, those are obviously Devin Harper. That was a big visit. Philip Wright, a small guy out of Destrehan, 2025 wide receiver, 5'11", 160-pound range. Dude can absolutely fly. And you look at Destrehan, obviously, you know, we know about Tim Moulton from Destrehan way back in the day. He went to LSU. Obviously, Justin Jefferson, you know, another wide receiver from Destrehan. We know what he did at LSU. Now you have Philip Wright coming up, who they've offered. On Friday night, LSU offered 2026 Destrehan wide receiver Jabari Mack, who, you know, I think is just an absolute stud. And so the wide receiver position, I think, is going to be a very interesting position to follow with this 2025 class, but will also seep into 2026 because you've got two guys already committed in DeCorian Moore, the number one wide receiver in the country. All he did was just ball out down at that 7-on-7 tournament this weekend to where, you know, he'll probably even find himself moving up in the overall rankings. You offered Philip Wright. You've got Teron Francis on already committed, the Edna Carr wideout. So you've already got two on board for 2024. But then you go down the list and you look, you've got Caleb Cunningham, who just dropped his top 12, five-star wide receiver. LSU is in a, you know, LSU is in a, I think if you're looking at, you know, you could take his 12 and drop it to five, and I think LSU is in that top five with him. You've got Kalik Lockett, another five-star receiver that LSU is in a good position with. You've got Andrew Marsh, a wide receiver, another five-star wide receiver out of Texas who's visited LSU that Cortez Hankton likes. And so it's going to be very interesting to see how that 2025 wide receiver board shakes out. Because Ja'Cory Watson, you know, he's a kid out of Houston who's visited LSU probably 10 times over the last couple of years. You know, he's a guy right outside the top 125, 150, if I'm not mistaken. I know he's a solid four-star wide receiver out of Houston. And you know, he's a guy who was in town. And I think if LSU would jump, I think if LSU would push, would press for him and say, hey, you know, we really need you on board. If you're going to get on board, I think he would jump on board. So it's like, how are all these wide receiver numbers going to shake out? You know, and that's also a position that Louisiana is never struggling for. You know, you can go down the list and you look at wide receivers, and I mean, Louisiana always has plenty of them. So then you toss in Philip Wright getting offered. You know, you got Kobe Howard out of Florida. You got Nashawn Montgomery out of Florida who's visited and stuff. That's just going to be a very interesting position to see how it feels out. And I have a feeling that, you know, if it goes like it looks like it could, and, you know, Moore, Underwood, all these guys stay on board, you know, I think this could be a situation that we're looking at after the early signing period next year, and people are just shaking their head at the guys that LSU may have to say, we don't have room for.
Yeah, it starts to get very, very crowded when you look at that. And you mentioned Ja'Cory Watson. The composite ranking has him as a top 200 player and the 23rd ranked receiver in the country.
Okay, solid so top 200. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Yes. Yeah. So they've got him in there. Ja'Cory Watson out of Shadow Creek. But, yeah, I mean, you talk about just some of the numbers. It's going to get crazy. And I don't know about you, Sonny, but if you start kind of looking at your spreadsheets, and I don't know where the cutoff line is going to be for the staff when you say, hey, we've got to develop the guys we still have on the roster because we don't want to lose all of them to the portal and have a, you know, a majority of freshmen on the roster. But, man, if you're a recruiting staffer, and we're going to get to this here in a second, but if you're on the recruiting end of the staff and that department in LSU right now, man, you're kind of licking your chops with where the momentum has taken you, especially with some of these names coming up. And I like what you said about Ja'Cory Watson. It does have the feeling like if they really push, he would say, yeah, I'm on board and let's roll type of thing. I feel like that's kind of where things sit with Watson and LSU. One of the big moves that was made, obviously, and there's still a lot to kind of be determined here, Sonny, is Austin Thomas. And, you know, the guy that's going to be coming back to LSU, still a lot of the particulars that need to be kind of worked down in what frame, what is this going to look like. But I know this is a guy that obviously you're familiar with. Kind of wanted to get maybe for the fans listening who maybe say, yeah, I've heard of Austin Thomas, but maybe I'm new to recruiting, you know, really want to learn more about it. What type of impact can Thomas have at LSU, especially in today's age of NIL and, you know, just the kind of new player relations that we're seeing these departments and personnel departments kind of have to create across college football?
Yeah, and Thomas is a guy who's, you know, who kind of got his start in recruiting. And he was actually on his first stint in Baton Rouge. He was actually one of the first general manager, you know, guys in college football with that role and with that title. And, you know, came in really, you know, really earned his stripes, I guess you could say, in recruiting, but always had the, you know, always had the goal of moving up, of actually, you know, being in a general manager type role like you see in the NFL, you know, moving up to an associate athletic director and kind of going that path more so than the recruiting side of it. But, you know, I hear people say, well, you know, this is his third time coming back. You know, they say, well, why did he leave? And, you know, better job opportunities, more money, you know, why do people leave jobs? But I will say this, I've never.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
New CBS Monday.
NCIS.
Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent Island got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii. Monday starting at 9, 8 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
If you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has three episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.
Let's see. I don't think I've ever worked at a place that I left, you know. And I don't have a very deep, long job history. I've stayed with people for a long time and stuff, and like even in college and stuff. But, well, I do remember that. I do remember quitting one job and then going back 3 days later and begging for it back and then telling me no. So that's another story.
We'll throw that out.
Yeah, but, you know, but to come back to a job, to come back to a place that you live, you move back from, you move back to for a third time, you know, I think that shows, you know, how much he really wants to be here, you know, and that, you know, whatever happened in the times before, you know, I know that when someone offers you more money and things like that, and you have a family coming up, you got to take all those things into consideration. But I think Austin Thomas is back where he really wants to be. And that's good for LSU, because what LSU, I think if you go back and if you look at one of the things that one of the areas maybe that they need to get a little stronger at, and I think was kind of highlighted in this layout in this past transfer portal cycle, is that it needs to get a little more aggressive and kind of tighten the, I don't want to say, you know, tighten the rope a little bit around the NIL side, the roster management side, and just kind of tighten everything together where you kind of get everything working a little more to where everyone's pulling the rope in the same direction instead of trying to, you know, instead of playing tug of war. And I think that's something that we've seen with the from the LSU side over the last couple of years, is that you didn't really it didn't really seem like everyone was working in the same direction. And I think Austin Thomas is going to kind of tie the roster side of it and kind of make it a neater package to where it's easier for the NIL people to do their job. Yeah. And so, you know, I know a lot of his roles are still to be determined, but I think you're going to see the biggest impact that he'll make in that roster management and being able to where all of the ducks are maybe in a row, lined up a little bit more to where when the NIL folks have to come in and they have to do their job, it's a little more seamless. And I think that's something that maybe was lacking. You know, once Polian left, I think there was a little bit of disconnect in those two sides. And I think that he's going to be someone who is going to, you know, who's going to connect all of the dots that need to be connected to where we can see LSU have a little stronger presence in that NIL market.
Yeah, that's man, you talk about some of the complaints that we have on our message board and just across the LSU fan base. Austin Thomas sounds like he's the guy to kind of fill that void. I like how you put that. Maybe reconnect the dots, maybe bridge the gap that was there.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, bridging the gap.
Maybe a little bit of a gap.
Master's hat's giving you some brain power this morning.
Can you not tell, man? I'm ready. I'm ready for April.
Like, that's I know. I'm pumped, thinking because I was like, wait a minute, isn't the Masters usually in like April or something?
No, man. You said that you wanted to record this at 8:30 in the morning, and typically I don't shower before I go to the gym. So I was like, oh gosh, I got to throw on a hat so I don't wake up with bedhead here. And as we roll in the morning, you know, just difficult job that we have, you know, that we just slave over each and every single day.
You gotta love it though, when you can just roll out of bed, throw a hat on, sit down at your desk, and you know, the wife's in here, spend an hour and 15 minutes in the morning, you know, got to drive 45 minutes and stuff, and she comes home and why are you in pajama pants?
yeah why have you not changed since I last seen you? Yeah, it's kind of how it works. Sonny, I wanted to get just one more quick comment here before we end this today's show. You know, Terry Bussey was coming off that Georgia visit. You mentioned it earlier, LSU still in on him. Any updated kind of feelings on how you feel about this thing? Or, I mean, obviously you feel like LSU's maybe still in the race, but to what level? I mean, this is one that's going to go all the way up to signing day. We know that he's still going to get on campus, but to just kind of your thoughts on maybe the latest news on Terry Bussey.
Yeah, you know, I think when you look at the schools who are obviously Georgia, LSU, the schools mm-hmm. that he's not committed to, with him committed to A&M, I think LSU still poses the biggest threat to Texas A&M. But what I've kind of been thinking of more and more as we get down the stretch is it's far odd how he stayed committed to A&M all of this time. Through all the turbulence, through all of the, you know, the coaching changes, through everything, never backed off that commitment to A&M. And, you know, and it kind of makes me wonder, like, okay, if he's waited this long, if he stayed with them this long, what's going to be that, you know, what's the domino that needs to fall for him to drop that pledge? You know, what is it? Mm-hmm. And I don't think we're going to see him actually decommit from Texas A&M if he would sign with someone else. I think he would just probably make that flip. But I'm getting a little the LSU side continues to have some guarded optimism, I guess you could put it, you know, when you talk to some from the LSU side, some guarded optimism. Obviously he's coming in on Wednesday. He'll be here for a one-day visit, then he'll go to Texas A&M this weekend for his official visit. So I don't think you're really going to have a good feel out on things until he goes on that A&M visit. You know, I'd put it where LSU can't ask for anything more. They've already hosted him on his official visit in September. Yeah. They got him back for a game a few weeks later. I believe it might have been the Auburn game that he came in for, and now you're getting him back on campus. Coming off the heels of an official visit right before he goes on another official visit to a school he's committed to. So you couldn't ask for anything more as far as being able to set everything up. And just how we talked about how Corey Raymond has kind of pushed LSU over the top for Jabari Antoine, I really think that that's what it's going to take for LSU to be able to get over that hump and to be able to get him to where he's ready to drop that pledge to A&M. I think Corey Raymond is going to have to be that, he's going to have to be that influence. And we've seen Bussey come into Steve Wiltfong about how he likes Corey Raymond. They don't have a deep history together. And so how he likes him, he likes how they've gotten to know one another. So I really think it's going to be big for that to just continue. And then you hope that coming off of that A&M visit is that the questions that he had to where he never solidified his pledge to A&M, whatever questions he had that prevented him from doing that, you know, you hope he still has those questions coming off of that A&M visit. Because if he goes into that A&M visit and if he gets questions answered and if he feels a little more comfortable than he's felt all of this time, I think it's going to be a hard flip.
Yeah, no, it's going to be interesting. And I think you said this, but just wanted to kind of finalize this for our viewers and listeners. Bussey's plan is to be on campus on Wednesday and then kind of round out the weekend with a trip to College Station.
And then head to College Station. And he still says that he plans to have a decision, you know, by signing day. But of course, he also said in the past that if he needs to take it farther, that he could. So, you know.
Man, yeah. Gotta love it.
hey, it's National Signing Day. So even if it's one, you got to have some kind of drama, right?
There you go. Yeah, you got to have some type of some theatrics to go around it. But that's kind of latest in recruiting around LSU. My name's Bryce Kuhn. He is Sonny Shipp. We appreciate you so much for tuning in to today's episode of the Go 24/7 podcast.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.